thought this also we could try out.
So I have a few examples in the both type of efforts. So this is acquiring a new land and creating new community. This we have in a district called Nizamabad. So one of devotee Sri His Grace Gaurachandra Prabhu is leading that project. It's named Sri Krishna Chaitanya Kshetra. He named it like that under Maharaj's guidance. So it's located 40 kilometers from Nizamabad town towards Hyderabad. It's isolated land. It's agriculture land. Very wonderful setup. It's very, very beautiful. It has the ambience there. It's in between two villages, very remote villages. And it's a 2 acres land. It's not a big land, but more land could be acquired because it's open for sale. And right now on that land we have a temple constructed, residential quarters, a kitchen. Of course we are using electricity there. And then we have on the land we have some cultivation going on there, doing paddy. And paddy is in abundance there, like 5 families all throughout the year, it's sufficient for them. Paddy is, we could get self-sufficiency there. Because we are planting some vegetable plants, fruit yielding plants and some medicinal herbs. So it's a new project, just 1 year ago we started this. Then other preaching activities, because devotees are very few there, so they are trying to get some city dwellers there and conduct some camps there. So that activity is going on. And then we have Namhatta programs in adjoining villages. In that place we have this Namhatta programs. So this is a brief description about the pardon? In this village? Yes, fired up in their own place, but they didn't move into the land. So that is, the concept is sinking in. So they are getting into this concept. As of now, they don't work in that land. They are staying in the villages, but their profession is into something like non-Vedic, like they are making some BDs and like cigarettes. That is profession existing there. So it takes time to shift to their profession into agriculture or other, I mean like Vedic profession. So they are fired up definitely. There are many villagers involved in the project and they want to involve in the project, but like in the practical sense that involvement in terms of activity is very less. The concepts are sinking in. They are understanding the importance of this. Yeah, that's great development, yes. So to be humble. So And the second aspect that is, the second project where I'm personally stationed is in Chirala, a town very close to Guntur. It's also in the coastal region. It's very close to the ocean, and a river also, a small rivulet, some Kundaipalam River. Of course, we were 2 years I've been there, 2.5 years, and all the time we were just looking for the land. So difficulties I face would be of some of importance for you. So if anyone is trying to acquire land in India, these are the problems we are possibly to face. One is the real estate business boom. Most of the, in India, the land now, agriculture land is put for sale as for construction of houses, factories and all that. So the farmers are feeling it's better for them to sell out their lands and move to cities. That way the land, the prices are a great hike, and it's like sometimes it's difficult also to acquire a land. Some land which is not such a advanced town or city, the land cost is 25 lakhs per acre. It's like foolish thing is happening. It's also because many of Indians are, like youth are moving to West, and the money is coming from there. So they want to put their investment somewhere. So they just, for the sake of buying, they're buying the lands, and that way price are on high.
What is the general rate of land?
It varies with the place, location. If it's close to road, 25 lakhs, 30 lakhs.
What should be?
It was like 50,000, 40,000 also.
50 times.
Yeah. Like it's crazily increasing. We can't expect next year what it will be. So, and next problem we're facing is cheating. A lot of cheating, especially, I don't know, other parts of India, but in Andhra, you get a land, and after some time, some other person comes and this is my land, and he has papers and I have papers. And who has manpower and, body strength, and he that is his land. And maybe Kshatriya, we have to develop Kshatriyas. So that this cheating is going on, and so we have to get into the papers deep and see that his papers are right. Only then we can move into that land. Or at least get into the deal. And second thing, last thing is suitability for our projects, our goals are. We can't get any land in between city or in between. No, we have to see some ideal conditions. Maharaj was mentioning in the morning presentation, the suitability of the land. So, of course, don't want to be deep into the suitability. Maharaj gave us certain things which you have to see before you try to acquire it. So after 2.5 years of effort, finally we have got 2 acres of land recently. It's a paddy field. It's prone to some flooding also, if it is big floods are there. But at least we have something in position now. And what we are trying to do is educate people into this congregation, whatever we are developing. From the beginning, because it's a new place, there was no temple there and no preaching as such before. So whatever we are doing is new there. So from the beginning we are putting in this concepts of simple living and high thing and get into practical way. So we have some camps, taking them to villages and spend some time there, a day or few hours there. Like that we have some conducting programs. Of course, now looking into development of community, these are the difficulties we are facing. First and foremost thing is we should have people. Community means people. So how to get people join us? We have people, devotees in cities supporting us, but how to get them to stay in the communities? That's a big struggle, at least for me. Facing this. So we thought, we got some inspiration from Indonesia projects and also by inspiration of Maharaj, that we have this Prahlad and Kunti youth hostels. I personally visited sometime, I got an opportunity, I think year 2002 or sometime. I personally visited Indonesia and I saw personally that how these students there were properly from the beginning trained they see a very, and most of the students in this hostel, like the pioneers of that project, Gita Nagari Baru, they are very happy. It's not that they have repentance, oh, I lost my career, They are very, very happy there, at least when I went, very happy. And I saw this model as a working model to get people into the community. So, with that inspiration, we started focusing on youth. So we thought youth is only hope, and also to have some maturity and like some understanding, we wanted some vanaprasthas support. Like there are many devotees who are like kind of finding some place to give their input, so many devotees, so we are trying to get them and to get into this projects, help our projects. So in this regard we started a Balaji Ashram youth hostel under Maharaj's guidance also. So we have some students staying there, and they are also into some researches to like how to develop this Varnashram concepts, cow protection, and they are, we sometimes directly go to the fields and see personally the benefits, like using tractor or how it works out with bulls. So we are locating some villages where they use traditional methods, and we are taking that youth there and also getting into the fields where tractor is used, so they are personally having that experience. And fortunately, the place we are staying, we have a Andhra Pradesh biggest university of agriculture. So it's agriculture university, and most of the students are agriculture students. Of course, what they are learning is different. It's exactly, I mean, contrary to what we are, our concepts. They want to introduce this mechanization in agriculture all over the world, all over the place. So that is their, field of, I mean, like education, like agriculture engineering. And now they are, after getting into this, they are saying that how we could remove this machinery from this. So, but still they are feeling it's very challenging, and they are very inspired by these concepts. We have some 15 students.
And how many are agriculturists?
Most of them, apart from some 5-6 students from other college, most of them, like 15 is like regular visitors, regular serious students, and they're like, some people come and like they drop out like that. Yeah, in the hostel they reside. I mean, resident, because we don't have an infrastructure, so residing people only 3, that place, small place. But they come for the meetings regularly, and other activities they participate. That is about this thing. So then we have the second way of developing community, that is preaching to the existing village communities. So, there is a village, Gundaipalam. It's mostly populated by fishermen. So I thought giving a report on that could be based on this Prabhupada's 4 movements. And it was really like that. So we have the Sankirtan movement. There was one devotee there, this Mr. Buchaya. So he happened to visit some ISKCON temple somewhere, or he just met devotees distributing books. So he got a copy of Bhagavad Gita, and he read that thoroughly, and then he understood, like, reading Bhagavad Gita, practicing it is important. There is no devotee association, he never got in touch with devotees, and he started chanting, and also 16 rounds, no devotee association so far. And then they got more books, and they were becoming serious. Chanting, you know, they got their own, they have kartal and their own mudanga, not our khol type, but they got those things and started the Sankirtan movement. So Sankirtan movement is on. And then that was going on for some time. Then they thought they should have a place to congregate, because they were doing in one house, other house, like that. So one person, they're all poor people, they're just fishermen staying at the coast. So they, one person who was owning a small piece of land, he gave that, and they built a hut temple, small hut. They put up, they didn't know, so they just put plaster of Paris, some Krishna deity there. And they were getting into, they started their Sunday program. Till then, no devotee association, no ISKCON devotee entered there. And this point, somehow by Krishna's arrangement, I got an opportunity to associate with them. And then we started to refine that their understanding of Krishna consciousness more into Bhagavad Gita, and then we started a morning program also. So some devotees attend morning program, they do Mangalarti, and they have the Sunday program. They have in the afternoon Sunday. They prepare some little, of course they don't have big Sunday feast as such, but something they prepare, and they chant round, they do kirtan, they study Bhagavad Gita, all this happening. Then I was going regularly, visiting regularly, at least once or twice a month. And they were coming to my place, and slowly they were becoming serious. And then some were chanting 16 rounds, and some fishermen like became more serious, and they thought this chanting is the only hope, and they used to take the chanting beads to fishing. And they chant 64 rounds and more also. So, but unfortunately, over their period of time, they have been put into this profession from the parents. So they were fishermen. So they had to go. And they started feeling restlessness, that they knew this is like against the principles of, you know, religion, and they were not satisfied with what they were doing, but they didn't have any other go. That is the situation now also. And then we propose, oh, there's something like in ISKCON, we have initiation ceremony, we have to follow four agreed principles, and they all had problem with meat eating. Meat eating specifically, not other meat but only fish, because that was easily available, free for them. That is free food. They just go and collect and whatever put for sale, and rest is theirs. And in that village, I got to know the history. They were having agriculture. They were growing millets, and agriculture was possible there. But over the years, because of this business like thing, fishing, fisheries and all that came in, so they forgot that agriculture and everyone got into it. And something like, there's a crazy thing in Andhra going on, aquaculture. So they take the fertile land, they pump water into it, make it salty, and grow prawns and other things for export and many other things. So just destroying the very, very beautiful, you know, land for agriculture. Just destroying, demoniac. So that is, we can say that is, this village is also an example for that. Whole land is now like barren land. So it was agriculture. I asked them, they were going, it was like a practice. Even though they were fishermen, they had agriculture also. So that ended up making the whole villages, like the prime businesses, fishing. So now is a problem. So they saw, they were interested, they are chanting 16 rounds, they are following all regulatory except eating fish. And some people, some serious ones, also stopped eating fish, but they can't give up their profession. So that is the time you were thinking what to do. So if you get into contemporary like ISKCON management schemes, like to help these devotees, what we could do for them? Yes, get them to cities, get them employment under some rich life members. That's one thing. And what else? Yeah, who will buy for land for them? What do you do? You get them the temple, train them up, make them pujari, or get them, learn them kirti, some cooking, and then make them cooks. What else? So this was the point where I was thinking and trying to contemplate, and that was the, and I see the only hope in this community is if you want to keep them in their own place. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, sthane sthita. Everyone quote, Varnashtam is not there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, sthane sthita, that shloka is quoted. So sthane sthita, they have to be located in their own place. So how to see that they are on their own place and they practice Krishna consciousness. So the only hope we saw is the fourth movement. That is classless society movement or Varnashtam Dharma movement. So I didn't know how to go about it, like how to start this. So we were just talking about, wherever I went, I was talking about importance of cows, and how Krishna like cows and all that. I didn't tell them to buy because they can't afford to buy cows. But they were inspired, and without my telling, without my informing prior, they bought cows. Two of them, with their whatever little money they have, they bought cows. And it's my personal experience. The presence of cow makes everything auspicious, and I see this. And who got this cow with their minimum earnings, they are very happy. The cow is not that they milk or anything, it's like a grown up calf, it's not a grown up cow, it's a calf, grown up, it forgot milk, so they purchased that. And he is very happy. He has now his ladies, they earlier used to go for work, now they are in the house taking care of cow, and they are happy with that. But they are happy. Though they don't have like all the amenities what modern like cities have, but they are very happy. I personally see them, and they are preaching. And now in that village, after this, there are like 5 cows. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like some people inspired, and they got cows. And then we were thinking like we should get land now. So at least to show them that in this land we can grow something, because everyone think, oh, in this land nothing can grow. Nothing can happen. This is not our field. That is their like mental block. So So we were we didn't really try for it, acquire a land, but seeing all this, where we are preaching in the village, in the town, he's not a rich man, he's just a photographer, he just goes for some photography. So he has his savings. So in that savings he said, because I see the cause is good, so I want to donate for just acquiring at least some piece of land to experiment that we could grow something in that. So with this like minimal earnings, he donated some land, some money, and we purchased 1/4 an acre, a small piece of land. So we already have that land now. And it's recently we got that land. So all devotees are there fired up, and we recently had a small informal guru, Bhumi Puja, begin the work. And then we propose to have some worshipful place, some small temple, hut temple, and a place to stay if some visitor come, you know, like guest hut. So we have proposed, probably when I get back that would be ready, and also a small kitchen to have some cooking going there, and also a small goshala, and rest of the land we want to grow vegetables. And we were thinking how to do this, so that we thought whoever comes for Mangalarti, so they'll take prasadam with the vegetables grown there, you know, like that was little encouragement. From that village, so we'll cook prasadam, so 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, whatever the time, so they'll take prasadam from that grown vegetables. So that is what we thought, how we grow this thing is how to use. So like that we thought. And then we were talking to some more villagers. In order to change our profession, we thought alternatives would be like, one thing is getting into pottery. So we are now fed up with using aluminium, steel and all things. So it's good if you shift to the pottery. And from the cities we have devotees encouraging, yes, if you get some pots ready, you know, for glasses, other things, instead of disposable, the plastic things, if you could replace, we will definitely buy. So we have market ready for that. But we were thinking to get some devotees trained in pottery. But unfortunately, to get a potter who is regularly doing it has become difficult. We are searching in adjoining villages. No one is working on pottery now. So only rarely in summers, before summer sets in, they do some pots, and they don't, the rest of the year they work somewhere else. So finally we have in one village one who agreed to train some devotees like in pottery. So it didn't happen yet, so we should take time off and go to them and get some devotee trained up in pottery. Then we thought we already have some cows, so we could produce some products from the cows. So that is also due. We have to send devotees for training to make some medicines or other products from cows. And then we also thought of this, all over the place we are staying, this full of handlooms and spinning mills and other things. So it's, we have a very easy availability of cotton, and this, the whole thing is there available. So we also thought to get them involved in this khadi production, that handlooms and other things. So these are our activities we propose to do. Yes, bro.
I think by now everybody is pretty much vegetarian, right?
Who are like aspiring?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But they're still going for fishing.
Yeah.
Some of them still going for fishing. Some are like got some jobs outside. And their life is more miserable than this fishery. Because they go out 7 o'clock and come by 9 o'clock. They wanted to give up this profession, fishing, so they got some factory, some job. But that's becoming more miserable, going to cities and finding jobs, huh?
Because they get a chance to go around.
No, they don't get chance. They only chance 16 rounds. But who go for fishing? There's an old man, he's kind of head of that community. So he's like he gives orders, so he has plenty of time. And he's been chanting 64 rounds. 64 rounds every day.
From all angles, if they can be given an alternate in their village, it's always fine, because then bring it back to the city.
Yes, it's good to say in the room, but you have something to come there and give.
Cows, if they can be given cows, some donation can,
yes,
be.
Yes, that is being worked out. We have some city devotees who are interested to adopt a cow. So the cow will be in the family, but they'll be donating a cow to them. Yes, we are doing that. We are like cow is also not so easy. It's not just getting a cow. Maintenance is a whole thing. So we are not again getting into that aparad thing, you know, getting a cow and not maintaining. Yeah, they should have some idea how to take care of cow also. We just can't keep a cow and say struggle with it.
Can you just tell me how much is this 1/4 of an acre in comparison to some structure here?
That it was just 25,000. 25,000 rupees.
In terms of the size,
that calculation, I'm very poor in conversions.
One acre
is
in comparison to some structure here.
It comes to 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
One fourth acre comes to 1,000 yards.
Okay. So, finally, to conclude, we have a long, long way to go, and we need all your blessings. To be determined and work on this and go longer on this. Thank you.
Any questions, comments?
Anybody feeling inspired by this?
Yes.
In every town in
the village. Who will make the group?
Yeah, well.
Half an hour.
Yeah, we have to actually, when we were recording, like a 3 minute to do that, and then when we come back.
So as groups, so how do you want, I don't know exactly how you want to structure, you want to get a group together to discuss?
I want to have like three groups.
It could be like one group is front half, the back half, one group and another group is good. But then what are they supposed to do?
Okay. So we want you all to split into three groups. So like this half, this little group here from Babuji, this side, the one group. The rest of you there in the back, another group. And this, another group.
And Samba Prabhu will join this group. Maharaj will join this group. And I'll join one group in the back. Yeah, we mentioned a little bit earlier the idea is to keeping in mind the whole purpose of this seminar, which is to understand more deeply about Varnasrama. What we would like from each group is some concrete proposals that could be made to some of our leaders within the society. I was mentioning earlier about upcoming RGB meetings, and or it can just be general recommendations, how we can what do you feel within your group could be practical ways to further implement the mission of Varnasrama, or maybe certain areas that you would like to be discussed more thoroughly. But specifically, actually, I'm looking for some recommendations or ideas how to advance the cause of the Varnashrama mission. So it means you have to brainstorm a little bit and before 2 o'clock, because at 2 o'clock we should break, select one person in each group who will be writing the recommendations that you all agree with, or even maybe not everybody agrees, but if somebody feels, oh, that this is like a something that should be presented, and that could also be included. Once that is done, we will break actually at 2 o'clock, and only this afternoon when we reconvene at 4 o'clock we will hear from, we'll take like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and hear a short, brief report from each of the groups. So one person, basically, who will be the speaker, should be taking the notes, and then later on when we come back at 4 o'clock. Is that okay? So we have one group here. You can just turn your chairs around like that. And then one group here. Our Grihastha will be with the Matajis. and some of the Prabhus and whatnot here. And then one last group. Maybe like 6-7 people per group. Yeah? And also, if any of you have had a chance to fill in your questionnaire or evaluation, you can kindly leave it at the front here. In case you did not get a chance to write it yet, it's not a problem. Just take it with you. But we need to have this before we finish this afternoon. Okay? Hare Krishna. The proposals can be one or they can be many. It depends on each group, because there are many aspects of Varnasram, so it's not necessary that you all come up with just one. It can be many small proposals. It can be a minor proposal, a major proposal. You can all take like 5 minutes to start thinking about it, and then you can start your discussion. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Yeah. Things were wrong, we're not first.